Well, imagine living in a world where there was no Christmas, where Christmas was cancelled every year because, well, it never happened. Well, that was the world that Isaiah lived in. Isaiah was a man who lived around 2,700 years ago out in the Middle East. They didn't have camera phones back then, so this is the closest we have to a picture of what he might have looked like. Well, back then, there was no Christmas. That meant there were no Christmas trees. There were no Christmas crackers, no tinsel, no Christmas lights. There weren't even mince pies. In fact, Isaiah described it as being like living in a land of deep darkness. In the first few chapters of his book, before our reading from chapter 9 this morning, Isaiah explained that this was because the people were at war with God. They'd turned their backs on God and they'd rejected him. They'd rebelled against his rightful rule over their lives. And instead of loving God and loving their neighbor as God had asked them to do, they instead ignored God altogether. And they hurt their friends and their families and those around them, the people that God had asked them to love. And because of this, Isaiah described the whole world as being a very dark place where people had cut themselves off from God and who couldn't enjoy friendship with him. There was no hope for them, only God's judgment. You see, the world had become a broken place with no future, only darkness. Isaiah said there was a land of darkness. Well, this isn't a very cheery Christmas message this morning, is it? Christmas really is cancelled. Except Isaiah was no ordinary man. You see, he was a man who'd been chosen by God to deliver a very special message to God's people. Now, he was called a prophet, which basically means he was a special messenger sent by God to deliver this special message to God's people. And it's this message which Rory read out to us this morning from Isaiah chapter 9. And if you've got a Bible to hand, it might be helpful this morning to open it up to that passage. That's page 693 if you're using one of the church Bibles. And we're just going to look at this message together and try and understand why it's such good news. Why there's good news for us this morning. So that's Isaiah chapter 9, page 693. And that's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. And I've managed, I think, to boil this message down to 12 simple words to help us remember it this morning. The king brings the win, which is why we can now sing. The king brings the win, which is why we now can sing. In fact, do you want to just try and repeat that after me? See if you can learn it as well. The king brings the win, which is why we can now sing. One more time. Let's all try and do it nice and loud. The king brings the win, which is why we now can sing. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, let's find out what this message actually means. Well, in verse 2, Isaiah speaks of some light breaking into this darkness, into this dark land. And he comes to us this morning with some good news, a message of hope, with some light at the end of the tunnel. And the first piece of good news that Isaiah wants us to understand this morning is that God was going to send a very special baby into the world. Let's have a look down at verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The first piece of good news was going to be the birth of a baby. But it wasn't just any ordinary baby. It was a royal baby who was going to be king. Now, there are all sorts of kings out there in our culture, in our world, all sorts of kingly titles that people own. I wonder if you recognize any of these. If I say, who's the king of rock and roll, who would you say? Elvis Presley, yes, the king of rock and roll. If I said, who's the king of spin, who would you say? Alistair Campbell, I like that one. It's not who I'm thinking of. I think topical, think what's going on in Australia at the moment with the cricket, maybe. Well, it could be Nathan Lyons, but traditionally, I think of it as Shane Warne, the leading Australian wicket taker of all time. 708 wickets, most of them English. Then, of course, we've got King Kong, haven't we? And I don't know which version of King Kong springs to mind, but I don't think you can beat this for an image. The band, the Kings of Leon, one of the most successful bands over the last decade. Maybe it's Billie Jean King, apparently, who won 39 Grand Slam titles. She won Wimbledon 6 times. Can you believe that? That's incredible. Maybe it's The Lion King, as Mufasa and Simba. And I must confess, the last time I cried was when I watched this film. And that was only last week. All these kings are great and impressive in some sort of way, aren't they? But none of them compare to the king that Isaiah describes in verses 6 and 7. Did you notice some of the kingly titles that he was given? Isaiah says this: he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And this king that Isaiah speaks of, we're told, is going to be a king like no other. A king whose reign is going to last forever. A king who will be God himself and reign over David's throne, over God's people, with justice and righteousness forever. I wonder if you ever thirst for a king like that. If you ever long for leaders, for teachers, for people in society who lead with perfect justice and righteousness, who never get things wrong, who are always looking out for their people. Normally it's the job of the people to serve the king, but not with this king. This king wasn't coming to serve himself, but he was coming to serve his people. He's truly unique and extraordinary. Well, that's the baby that Isaiah spoke of. That's the king that Isaiah promised was going to come. But there's more. Because this king brings the win. And the second piece of good news that Isaiah wants us to get excited about is that this coming king would be a victorious king. He was a king who was coming into the world to sort out the darkness once and for all, to put an end to our war with God. Remember, the world is described as living in darkness because it's at war with God. It's turned its back on God and rejected him. War is a time of great darkness. If you've ever lived through a war, and I know that many amongst us here this morning have, you'll know that war is a time of great darkness. It's a time when people lose loved ones, when people struggle, when people go without, and when people fear for the future. But did you see that this king was going to bring an end to that war? Just have a look down at verse 5. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. On that day when this king arrives, God's people would be able to destroy their battle clothes because they'd no longer be at war with God. It's a picture of eternal peace that Isaiah presents us with. I don't know if you've got any football fans in the room amongst us this morning, but today is an important day of derbies in the Premier League. The Merseyside derby between Liverpool and Everton kicks off in just a couple of hours, whilst the Manchester derby later on this afternoon, many have predicted, is going to decide the title race. But apart from, in all reality and all honesty, these games not actually meaning anything, they're only temporary victories. Whatever the result today, they're only temporary victories. Because later on in the season, and then again next season, and then again the season after, when they play each other again, the bragging rights will be exchanged, between the sides as the other teams win. But the Prince of Peace, he was coming to bring a win greater than any possible Premier League derby result. He was coming to bring an ultimate victory and the ultimate peace, peace with God himself, so that his people could be friends with him. It was to be an everlasting result which would bring a victory over the sin which separates us from God, a permanent victory. The sin, which is our rejection of God, which leaves us cut off from him. On that day, Isaiah said, God's people would no longer need fear anything because the war would be over and the burden lifted from them. They would be free and at peace with God. No longer would they face his judgment, but his blessing. And their future, Isaiah says, would be glorious. This king was going to be the real deal. It's great news that Isaiah is bringing us this morning. Well, it's one thing, Isaiah, predicting a future event, isn't it? And proclaiming a message of hope. I guess any of us could do that. It's only any good, isn't it, if it actually happens, if it actually comes true, if this king that Isaiah spoke about actually one day turns up. Well, finally this morning, I want to read you something that happened 700 years later, after Isaiah proclaimed this message. I think it's a story that you're all going to be very familiar with. It was written down by a man called Luke, a doctor, who witnessed Jesus, his life, and the events surrounding his birth. And he says this. He says this, and there were shepherds living out in fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. So do you understand? There's a group of people out in the darkness, out in the fields one night, when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And we're told these shepherds were terrified. Suddenly it's as if someone had turned on the lights in the middle of the night as these shepherds are out there looking after their sheep. But the angel said to them this message, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." That word Christ, it means king. It's a title. It's not his surname. It's not like saying Justin Bieber or David Beckham. It's Jesus Christ. It's King Jesus. It's his surname. And in fact, it doesn't speak of any old king, but it's the promised king who Isaiah had spoken of. "This will be a sign to you," the angel continued. "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And the shepherds hurried off to Bethlehem to see this baby for themselves. Do you see what Luke wants us to notice here? Do you see what Luke wants us to notice about this baby who was wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger? That he wasn't just any old baby, but he was the special baby. The baby that Isaiah had promised. The child who was really the king. The king who brings the win. Which is why we now can sing. Jesus is the king who has brought us out of darkness into the light. He's the king who's delivered us the victory and brought us peace with God. And he saves us from our rejection of him. And this, of course, is something we remember at Easter time, when we remember Jesus dying on the cross to pay the price for our sin. Jesus is that king who's come to serve his people, to serve us and to save us. It's truly wonderful news that Isaiah speaks to us about this morning. It's amazing news. And it means that Christmas is definitely back on. Nobody can stop it. It's already happened. Jesus has been born into the world. And that's reason for great joy and great celebration. Christmas isn't just a time to feel nostalgic or have fun with our friends and family or eat lots of chocolate and lots of nice food. Although I hope we, of course, all get to do lots of that. It's a time to celebrate that this war is over and that we have peace and friendship with God himself. We can sing songs of triumph and of joy this Christmas and of hope and praise because of the King born in a manger. Because God sent his Son Jesus into the world to rescue us and to be our Savior. And so all those pictures we put in the box that Lynn put away to show that Christmas is over, well, we can get them out again, can't we? Because Christmas is back on. I'm going to need some help. Are there a few volunteers who want to come and help me bring out some of these things? Right, so we haven't just got pictures anymore. We've got real chocolates and we've got tinsel. What else have we got in here? We've got Christmas films and crackers. Who wants to pull the cracker?
Me!
Go on and pull the cracker. Who wants to put on the Christmas hat? Who wants to wear the Christmas hat? Mince pies. Anybody want a mince pie? Wow, this is exciting, isn't it? Look at that. Who's for a mince pie this morning? Anybody like mince pies? Go on, have a mince pie. Have a mince pie. Paper clips. Wow. It gets better and better, doesn't it? Okay, that's great. Just grab a seat there. Just grab a seat there where you are. Just grab a seat just where we are as you eat your mince pies. That's all right, Samuel. You sit down there.
Shall I put these back?
No, it's all right. Just sit down there.
Can I keep the paper?
So we can sing. We can celebrate Christmas. We can put up Christmas trees and sing carols and eat great food and enjoy Christmas in the way that it should be. Because we sing as people on whom the light has now dawned. Christmas isn't cancelled this morning because the King has come. The King who brings the win, which is now why we can now sing. Let's just say it one last time this morning. The King brings the win, which is why we now can sing. And children, when you get home and you have lunch with your parents today, before you're allowed to eat any lunch, I want your parents to ask if you can remember that. If you can remember those 12 words, so let's just do it one last time to make sure you've got it embedded. The King brings the win, which is why we now can sing. Fantastic. I hope you all have a very happy Christmas this year. And remember this amazing news, which is right at the center of it, that it's all about Jesus, who has brought his people out of darkness and into the light. The King who brings the win, which is why we now can sing. And I'm going to close us with a prayer this morning before I hand back over to Lynn. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for Christmas, and that because of Jesus, we have a real reason to celebrate this year. Thank you so much that you are honest with us about who we are and how we have treated you. And we thank you that despite this, you love us so much that you sent your Son Jesus into this world to be our King and Savior, to give us real hope. Help each one of us in this room this morning to trust in him and to be thankful for the peace he has brought us with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.